Paul was speaking about paralleling the husband and wife or marriage with the church. And Ephesians 5:27, he said he's returning for a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Dusty, what are you doing? You're back and past your seat. There you go. I don't want you to sit down and hurt yourself. You go to sit in a seat that wasn't there. Hallelujah. Let's see what looks Chris. She's out there somewhere, darling. Thank you. It's granddaughter, okay? Hallelujah. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was presiding over a funeral one Monday, and I pulled into East Lawn Cemetery. And I get out of the car, I'm getting ready to head to the gravesite, and the Holy Spirit gave me this word for today. And it was like, wow, what a peculiar place to give me a word. I mean, my focus for where I was going didn't have anything to do with this, but the Lord took me there, and he wants to take you somewhere today. He wants to show you how important and how the time that, and the age that we're living in right now is. And the place where the church worldwide is. And that God has a plan. God's going to turn some things around. But before he can turn some things around, he's got to turn some things around in the hearts and minds, our hearts and minds. It begins here. We can't look what's going on in the world if it isn't going on in the church. Hello? So many times we look out and we try to see everything that's wrong with the world. Amen? We got to just show them what's right about God, okay? I serve a great big God. You serve a great big God. So look with me in Revelation 3, and then we'll just see where he wants to go today. And prayfully, everybody will get revelation and understanding of what he's saying. I want to look at Revelation 3. Now, when John the Revelator was writing these letters, he wrote it in a mail route. They were delivered on a mail route to the seven churches. But I believe this represents ages of the church, and I believe we're in the last age. And the last age, I believe we're in the time of the coming and the return of Jesus. I believe he's at the door. According to the biblical prophecy, he can show up any moment. Everything's been fulfilled. Amen? There's an end time gathering that's going to take place, and God wants to get a hold of our hearts and lives. So we're going to begin to read with verse 14. He's writing to the church of Laodicea. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You know, in John 1, the Bible says that the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was at the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 15, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he tells him why. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, right here, I want you to understand that Jesus is speaking to the three spiritual states of the church. Hot, lukewarm, or cold. The hot church is a church that's zealous. They have zeal. The lukewarm church is a church that doesn't have zeal, but does not even have any conviction. They believe that they have arrived. The cold church is a church that doesn't have zeal, but they're convicted. They know they haven't arrived. In other words, Jesus would rather you be cold or hot. He's not saying out of the kingdom or in the kingdom. He's saying he'd rather you be cold or hot because you're lukewarm. if you get to the place where you don't think that you need anything, woe unto you. Amen. I shared this morning that I went canoeing yesterday. And I was in a position for 3 hours. And when I went to get out of the canoe, I had to have somebody help me out of the canoe. I got stiff. And what the Lord was showing me this morning, as Christians, so many times we get so used to the way things are, we get stiff and stuck. And God wants things to change, but change won't come without pain. Sometimes when God's going to call you to ask you to give up something, it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt your flesh a little bit. But the Bible says your flesh is weak, but your spirit's willing. He said there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. The spirit will help you. The spirit will see us through. So he's saying now there's three states of this church, or three spiritual states of the church. Now he gives them counsel. He says in verse number 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know, according to 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith is burned with fire. That we're going to go through some fiery trials. He isn't talking about the gold and wealth of this world. He is speaking to you and I about spiritual wealth. He says, white raiment, I have the robe of righteousness. I'm the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My eye salve is the salve that lets me see. I was blind, but now I see. You know, the Bible says the carnal man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. But you have the mind of Christ. In other words, God wants to open our eyes. The adversary has got the church in a state of blindness. And I'm not talking to just us in the room. It's the church worldwide. It's the church at the last age. It's the church right now. Amen? And he says this. Then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And he is saying this. He is saying, hey, he's not just knocking on our heart's door. He's knocking on the door of the church. I have a body that he wants to fill and be the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost resides in me. But we're the body of Christ, and we all have different parts. He's knocking on the church door, and he wants to get in. He wants to get in. He said, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. In other words, he ain't going to force himself in. He's going to come by invitation. He has a plan in every heart and every life of everyone in the room. And he isn't going to force himself on you. He comes gently to you. He comes in grace. He comes in mercy. He comes in love. Amen. I want you to understand that this is a message of love because God is love. God is love. But he's the God of Genesis to Revelations. He's the God in the beginning and in the ending. Amen. You know, he just doesn't start. He wants to finish some things. Amen. And all of us in the room are just a work in progress. Nobody's arrived yet. Amen. But praise God, we don't want to take anything for the journey that we're on. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Then he says, remember again, who is he writing the letter to? The churches. He ain't writing this to the world. He's writing those in Christ Jesus. He is saying, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Amen? Is anybody listening here today? Yeah. Amen. But what does he want to do? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. The question, the message today is just a question. Will you let him in? And your bullet that says, will you let him in? The O is a an error, let them in. Oh, but if you're just cool and you're down to earth, it's can you let them in? Oh, I must be too old to be cool, huh? That wouldn't be cool, would it, Samuel? Let them in. Oh, be all right. Amen. So there's three things. He is knocking. Are you listening? Will you open your heart and will you let him, can we let him in? Amen? That's what I want to preach about today. Can we lift the word up together and make a declaration in the house today? Amen. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful today for your word. We're so grateful that you sent it today to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house. So, Father, speak, Father God, through this vessel. Father God, may Carl get out of your way. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you raise up in me, and may your voice be heard. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, you'll receive the honor and all the praise. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. You know, if you open your Bible first to Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, he's knocking at the door. This is a parallel to what Jesus is saying in Revelations 3:20. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and this letter was written for a woman's understanding. Sometimes men don't understand these writings as much as women will. So God wants to speak to the men and to the women in the house. So, and Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse number 2. The word of God says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with drops of the night. Amen. That was like a poetic voice that's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. And his locks was with the dew. Jesus said in Matthew 8:20 that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have nowhere to lay his head. And Jesus wants to take residence within you and I. And he comes as and love. Amen. This is a word of love. Amen. God isn't here to condemn anybody in the house. God is here to love on you. And it's love that will change our minds. It's love that will move in our hearts and change our minds. So this to you today is a message of love from the Lord. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he wants you to see something today. Okay? So look with me in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. We're looking at this banquet. We're looking at this gathering. We're looking at the body of Christ being gathered together. And Jesus uses a parable here of a wedding banquet that he shares in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse number 2 says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is already, But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man with had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want you to understand something. There's going to be a marriage supper. There's going to be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I want you to understand something. As sure as there I am standing here today, there's a heaven and there's an earth. I want you to understand, as sure as I'm standing here today, there's a judgment day that's coming to this world. As sure as I'm standing here today, there's a lie and deception that's going around this world that says there's no heaven and there's no hell. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. God said in his word, he said he's going to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also, that we comfort one another with these words. Amen. I want you to understand that our season is now. This is the day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad because of what Jesus has done. Amen. We can't, there's so much deception in this world. There's so much deception in the body of Christ. Oh, we're living heaven now. Oh, this is heaven on earth now. No, it isn't heaven on earth now. There's still sickness. There's still disease. There's still death. Death will be defeated in victory. Hallelujah. This isn't heaven. Amen. If this is heaven, I don't know what. No. This is not heaven. Hello? This isn't heaven. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers, far above every name that's named and named that is named. But one day there's a consummation of all things. The trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ will be raised. And those that are alive, they'll call up to meet the Lord in the air, to ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. That trumpet hadn't sounded yet. They're still dead in the grave. They ain't rose yet. Amen. And we haven't been called up to meet the Lord yet. Amen. Amen. Hey, so that's why we have to remember the truth of God's word. Amen. God gives us a little heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. I don't know. When he gave us the Spirit of God and put the Holy Ghost inside of you, he gave us a little heaven on earth. Amen. He gave us a little heaven on earth. He'll show us things where the word of God says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But he's revealed them to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all deep things. Yay, the deep things of God. Amen. Amen. Jesus is knocking at our door. I heard this song. I'm going to change the words of it. Jesus is knocking at the door. He doesn't want us to go to hell. Jesus is knocking at the door. He doesn't want us to go to hell. Open the door and let him in. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts of the Apostles. Writings of Paul. I could keep on going. But do him a favor. Open the door and let him in. Amen. He's knocking. He's knocking. You get me? Man, if I could only sing, I could do that. Amen. The question that God's asking you and I today is simply this. He's knocking. One, will we listen? Look with me in John chapter 3. You know, we sang a song, Breathe on Me. We talked about the wind of the Spirit. We talked about fire. I want you to know that fire is a purifying fire. Amen. Amen. And that wind of the Spirit, when that wind of the Spirit moves in, it ain't comfortable. Hello? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Are you with me? Come on. God has you in this room today. Let me say something to you. God has you in this room today because he wants to get something in your heart. He wants to get something in every one of our hearts today. Amen. Life is going to change if we allow Him. We keep on complaining and complaining to the Lord all the time. We're coming to Him always with a hand out instead of a hand up. You know, God, the Word of God says in everything, give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. We ought to come together with a thankful heart. Instead of looking at what we don't have, we ought to be grateful for what we do have. Amen. We so soon forget what God has already done for us. He is listening. He's wanting us to listen to hear what He has to say. You know, John the Baptist said this in John chapter 3, verse number 27. He said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth in hear of him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. Then he says, I must do what? I must decrease so that he can increase. I must decrease so he can increase. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 10, and we're talking about Jesus is knocking at the door. If anybody hears his voice, we're talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. John chapter 10, verse number 1 says simply this. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door and to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Because he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I want you to understand, Jesus doesn't try to come and sneak in the back door. He ain't going to come through the window. He's going to come through the front door of your heart. He's going to come through the front door. He is a King of kings and Lord of lords. The adversary sneaks in the back door. He sneaks through windows. He comes in any way he can. But Jesus always comes through the front door. Amen. He always comes through the front door. He says, behold, I'm standing at your heart's door and I'm knocking. If any man hears my voice, you know his voice because his voice is love. His voice. He never comes in condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a judgment day coming, but we're not in judgment right now. We're in the season of grace and the season of mercy. We're in the season of God's trying to get our attention. Amen. He's trying to get our attention. Amen. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, then he says, and opens the door. In other words, he's just like a guest that's coming to your house. He's gently knocking at the door. He's gently knocking in this church's door. Will you let him in? We let him in? Guess what's going to happen if we want to let him in? Change. Everything is going to change. Everything's going to change. We want to do the same old thing and expect a different outcome. They call that crazy, don't they? They call that insanity, don't they? You know, we keep on trying to do the same thing, but we're looking for something else. God says, hey, you want me to come in? You can open the door? Hey, you know what it represents? I'm going to change the place. I'm going to turn it upside down. Amen? In other words, everyone in the room is going to decrease. You know, you're going to let me increase. You let me increase and look out. Amen. Don't put me in a box. We're just like that little thing. My grandchildren have this little box, a jack in the box. It has a little monkey in there. Pop goes the weasel. Right? Isn't that the way we put Jesus and we put God in this little box? We jiggle him with our song. We jiggle him with our dance and we just expect him to pop up. Amen. Is it true? Amen. Hey, we want to win to the Spirit and God to move in a mighty way. Guess what it's going to do? It's changed. Hey, guess what? It's not just you. It's me. Amen. Amen. Hey, there's some things I got to change. We're going to change some things around. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10. Everybody still with me? You know, we're praying for revival. You want revival to come? Well, God is getting ready to come. Amen. Now here he is in Matthew 10. We're talking about opening our hearts up. Open the door of the church and let them in. Matthew 10, verse number 37. Listen to these words. Jesus speaking. He that loveth father or mother. You okay, sister? You all right? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whew. Wow. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink one unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In other words, what he is saying to you, hey, are you putting me before your mother, before your father, before your sister, before your brother, before your son, before your daughter? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. As he got the preeminence, as he got the first place. Amen. Hey, God doesn't want second place in our lives. He'll bless us, and he gives us children, he gives us family, he blesses us, but he don't want to put the blessing in front of him. All of a sudden, we start worshiping the blessing instead of the blessor. I want you to understand that your children are a gift from God. They're a gift to you from God. Don't worship the gift, worship the giver. Amen? God's saying to you and I that, hey, he says in John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Amen? He said, that's what he is saying to you and I today. He's saying simply this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. And I'll sup with you. You know what supping is? It's like fellowship. It's like communion. It's like being in an intimate relationship. It's like intimacy. When he's comparing the church to the church to a marriage or a husband and wife, he's comparing intimacy. Intimacy. When we're in intimacy with someone, we're into me, you see. Amen. We're to open ourselves up to one another and be intimate and communicate with one another. And that's what God wants to do. You know what keeps us from true intimacy with God? The junk in our trunk. The junk in our trunk. And I hear people say all the time, well, Pastor, I'm going to do this when I get this and get this right and do this and do that. The problem is you can never do it. You never have strength to do it. All he is saying is, hey, die to yourself. Be resurrected in me, and I will help you. I will walk with you. You can live victoriously in Christ Jesus. You know, the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 26. The Word of God says this, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, he tells us in Colossians 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him. Talks about intimacy, and he with me. He says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which you also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What he is saying to you and I is simply this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you listening? Anyone that hears my voice, are you willing to open the door? And opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Then he says, and the next verse, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down at my Father's in his throne. In other words, we can be, and we are called to be, overcomers. I overcame them how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. I overcome them how? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I have overcome them because the word of God says in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So in closing, what is God just simply saying to you and I today in his word? He said, hey, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with them and he with me. He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, the Bible says this, 2 Peter 3:9, that the word says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would repent. Repent simply is to change our minds. See, he's knocking. Are you listening? Will you open the door? And can we just let him in? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. First and foremost, you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today, maybe you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord, or maybe one time you did and you drifted away. You're not at that place you once were. You just want to give your heart to Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Say, Pastor, I need Jesus. May I see your hand? Is there anybody at all? Anybody at all? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're the searcher of every heart and every life. Father, I thank you that you love everyone in the room. And your word said, who you love, you rebuke and you chasten. But for us to be zealous and repent. Who is here today that would just simply say to me and to the Lord, hey man, I've got something in my life that's not right. I see your hand. I see the hand. Hands should be going up all around all in this place. Can we all just stand in the closing moments of this service? In this last days, in this days that we're living in, what bothers the Father the most is the body of Christ, the church of Christ, that's lukewarm. He says it makes them want to puke. It makes them want to vomit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know my sanctification is a process that takes my entire lifetime. I haven't arrived yet. Has anybody arrived? I believe today all the Lord's asking us to do is he's calling us to change our minds. So what I want you to do is I just ask for you to just lift your hands. I ask for you to close your eyes. And I ask you personally to ask the Lord to reveal that thing that he wants to minister in your life here. He does one room at a time. He didn't come in. He ain't gonna crash you. But he's gonna reveal something to you. And when he reveals it to you, he'll give you strength through the Holy Spirit to overcome it. And that thing that you've been trying to overcome, that you've been never able to overcome, God's gonna see you past it today. He's gonna see you through. He's gonna see you through. He said he would do it. He's going to do it. Father, you see every heart and every life of every shadow and every one that's gathered in this room. I thank you that many are called, but few are chosen. And you've chosen them, Father God, and you set them apart for your glory and for your honor. Father, we're laying some things down today. We're laying some things down. And I'm just going to ask you to do something symbolic today. This represents the altar of God. And before you leave this place, before you leave this sanctuary, I ask you to do this. I ask you to symbolically go to the altar and leave something there today. God says for you to cast your care upon him, for he cares for you, that he'll take it. Hey, there's nothing magical about this. It's all magical about him. But you know what? Faith comes with action. Faith comes with action. To put action to your word, I'm going to lay down something myself today. And as we close this service, Father, I pray your blessings upon the people. May your face shine upon them, Father God. And I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the plans that you have for every last one in the room. And the plans are for good and therefore not for evil. That all of them have hope and they have an expected end. And Father, today is a day of change, Father God. I see things shifting, Father God. There's a shifting that's taking place. There's a shifting in the heavenly. And I pray that this shifting that's taking place in the heavenlies will touch this earth, Father God. That will touch our hearts and our lives. Because I know that you're on the brink of the return, Father God. I know it could be in a moment. In a moment, Lord Jesus. It could be any time. So, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So therefore, we rather glory in our infirmities that your power may flow through us. So today, Father God, we praise you and give you glory for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.